I didn't even look. I didn't feel like being angry today.
I am upset because now I must look. Oh, my God, it does.
Kyle, why'd you tell me? I was living in a house, sleeping in a comfortable bed, all of which was constructed with the base material of ignorance. How could you do this to me?
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
Niantic would like you to know that they do, in fact, have ears.
I've got something spectacular on my mind. A psychic event.
Trainers will have the option of putting the zone back in Safari Zone this year.
We buried Pokalore for a couple of weeks, so this one's a mouthful. And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 159. It's September 2nd, a Thursday evening. I almost said yet another Tuesday evening because I'm so used to saying it, but now I'm so used to not being used to not being able to say it. It's almost like a new norm. My name is Chris. I'm your host. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, what's shaking?
The trees to get berries from them.
Yeah, there you go. Or Heracross at certain trees.
No, that's Headbutt.
That's right. I forgot. My bad. Please forgive me. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be buried in hate mail now. Anyway, welcome to the podcast, everybody. Our 159th episode. Very excited today to talk about several topics. A lot of interesting things have happened this week. We did move our regular scheduled recording from Tuesday to Thursday, not because we couldn't have recorded on Tuesday, but because we decided that we shouldn't have recorded on Tuesday because we were waiting for the first, which was yesterday, Wednesday, for Niantic's response with the task force stuff. We're going to get into all of that and more this episode. But first things first, as always, we'd like to say thank you to 7 brand new patrons. I actually think it's 8 technically because one of them is like 2 people put together, which is pretty cool. But shout out to Billy, Ramirez Rex, Ben, Larky, Donkey Biscuits, Marvin and Mimi, and Eric. Thank you very, very much for your patronage and your support. Looking forward to getting to know you better. Let's do some raids. Let's do all those Discord-related things. It'll be fun. All right, Mr. Kyle, we set some goals last week. Saturday.
Yeah, we did.
Boy, did we. I'm excited to see how you did. Did you? Because you only set 2 goals. Did you finish your Ultra Unlock Research Part 3?
No, I didn't.
You know what, Kyle? I'm tired of this. You're better than this.
I have absolutely no excuse for that one. That's what I'm saying. This is terrible. Terrible of me.
What about this next one? Easy peasy, right up your alley. 25 GBL matches.
No.
Okay.
I did some, but not 25.
Okay. Well, that's a big old goose I got a 2 for
you. It's okay. I have to match up with my 100% from last week, so now I'm at a 50% average, which is about on par for me.
Why'd you set the average for just 2 episodes? Why isn't it just your entire
rating? Well, no, I said that's about my average overall. It's usually about 50%.
I guess so. Last week you only set 1 goal, Kyle.
Exactly. This week it was only 2.
All right, listen here. I'm here to do a podcast, not argue with you. Wait, yes, I am. I'm here to argue with you for the podcast. But anyway, all right, nice work. Zoroastu. I wanted to hatch 30 eggs. I did do that last week, since Saturday, essentially. 25 kilometers, I did not. I got to about 18.
Come on.
I know. 20 GBL, I didn't do either. I talked a big game, but at least I got 1. 1 out of 3. I'm taking that belt back. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good at all. I underperformed, but here we are. Anyway, without further ado, just because it's going to get kind of crazy in here, let's roll into the news. Yo, what's up? It's the news. So first things first, we've got 3 pieces of news. 3. Yes, we do. And the first one, we're just going to kind of dive into the biggest topic. Well, I guess it's kind of arguable, really, looking at these other two. Mm-hmm. But this is the response from Niantic's task force to the whole stop distance reduction, the reversion, the whole conversation around that accessibility, all that stuff. Now, just to remind you, we did cover it last week, but the stop interaction distance is back to 80 meters, which is where it was during the height of the pandemic bonuses for everybody again. So those of you in New Zealand and Australia and the States, it is back to quote unquote normal. But here's what this response had to say otherwise from that change, which they made before the first. First, I want to thank you for being patient. Your passion and concerns have not been lost on us these past few weeks, and our internal task force has spent a lot of time discussing the changes we made to the Pokestop and gym interaction distances. Now, we want to give you an update as promised. By the way, this is written from the first person, which is really interesting because it's actually signed by the executive producer of Pokemon Go, Steven Wang. So there's that. This first section is what we heard from the community. Pokestops and gyms are one way we try to nudge trainers to get outside and discover new places, walk an extra kilometer or two, and meet others. It's been inspiring to see so many players around the world come together as a result of this design. To me, it means Pokemon Go is important to many people, and it means trainers expressed their concerns because they care about the game. We've been listening to player feedback and also set up 4 roundtable conversations where I spoke with over 30 community leaders from around the world. Thank you all for your participation. You're very welcome. The 2 main things we heard were, 1, the 80-meter interaction radius for Pokestops and gyms have been an incredibly positive quality of life improvement over the past year and a half. Nailed it. That's 100% correct. And 2, Niantic has a lot of room to grow when it comes to communication with our players. Boom, that was my main thing, so I'm happy to see that in print. Next up, Pokestop and gym interaction distance. We understand that the increased 80-meter interaction distance became a welcome benefit for many players. That is clear from the feedback we saw from the community, so we want to keep it as announced last week. 80 meters, not 40 meters, will be the base interaction radius for Pokestops and gyms globally from now on. This is important because a lot of people were kind of like, well, are they just putting it back and then we'll go back eventually? This right here means in print from the executive producer that this is now the base. This is the norm. 40 meters doesn't mean anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's 80. This is sick. I love it. I love it. All right, next. We still believe in the importance of discovering interesting places and things in the real world, and we don't want to lose sight of that. The team and I are eager to develop new ways that motivate and reward trainers for exploring and exercising in the real world. As a result of the task force, we have new ideas to explore, and we look forward to sharing more in the coming months. Not entirely sure what that's all about, but I'm assuming since this was not the only thing up for grabs in discussion, that we'll be hopefully seeing some other things addressed, maybe some quality of life changes, stability in GBL. Who knows? The world is their cloister to some degree. Seasonal global bonuses. We went through a rough learning experience recently when we had to adjust the game settings for New Zealand quickly in response to their lockdown. This experience taught us that we are not going to be able to effectively adjust the experience on a country-by-country basis in real time. That would be really hard. I mean, come on. Jeez. Starting with the Season of Mischief, all bonuses will be set at a global level and be tied directly to the seasons in Pokemon Go. I like that. It's clean. It's clear. Everybody knows what's going on. Awesome. Next, communication. We should be communicating and engaging more with trainers. I hope that, with your patience and understanding, we can do better here. There are many ways we can improve, but to start, we're making the following commitments to you. Starting in October, we'll begin publishing a developer diary every other month to share the latest priorities, events, and features for the game. We are going to set up regular conversations with community leaders to continue the dialogue we began this month. And we will continue our work on updating the known issues page, and in those efforts, we'll prioritize bringing greater visibility into the status of existing bugs for trainers. And then it's just kind of like, thanks for being passionate about our game. We're here with you, sort of generic sort of wrap up. And it's very heartfelt. I love this write-up. That's why I wanted to read it instead of summarize it, generally speaking. But I think this feels good. Kyle, I'm dying to hear your opinion. We haven't even had the chance to talk about any of this yet. We've been so busy the past 2 days.
Yeah, we have. God, and it's only been a day since this came out. It feels like forever.
It does.
Sometimes.
It does.
Well, as we talked about, 80-meter interaction distance. Permanent. Good. Just positive. Not really anything else to say about that. So there's the rest of the stuff. tying stuff to the seasons is good. It really emphasizes the fact that they want seasons to be important, even if they haven't had the kind of impact I was hoping. So it's good that they can keep building upon that. Now the thing that gets me for this, and this is the negative part coming out for me,
ooh,
is communication. Niantic is bad at communicating. Full stop. Everybody has known this for years. We knew this like the week we started the podcast that they couldn't communicate very well. It's very frustrating that this is a victory when it should have been happening in 2017.
I have a counterpoint to that, right? Wherein they had brought in a community manager, i.e. Liz, and other people on the community management team to help build that out. But they kept running into red tape and other sorts of resistance and things like that internally. That's the feeling that I got, at least. So for me, to me, this looks, especially coming from the executive level, this looks kind of like a, oh, whoopsies, let's not make that difficult to get you the information you need anymore.
I don't think that's a good enough excuse, because in any other corporation, if a big mistake happens, people work fast. If something causes a problem in a company, people are working overnight. They're like, I'm sorry, you're working 12 hours this weekend. And that's just what happens. That's how the corporate world works when major problems happen.
Yep.
And so to say that they have red tape so that they can't do and communicate appropriately, it would either imply the higher ups don't care about the business. Let's say we're not going to call it the game. We'll say the business, because it's what makes them the money. And I think that's not true. I don't think that's true. And so it's great that they're making a promise to communicate, but it's just the only communication here is a updating the known issues, which is good, but it doesn't say anything about like actually them being fixed. But at least they acknowledge them.
Yeah.
And every other month, developer diary, when seasons are 3 months, means you get one per season, and then every two seasons you get two. And it just not enough.
It's just to start out with. Yes. I think if they start getting a really positive reaction to these developer diaries, they might bump it up to monthly, you know, if they have enough to say. And it's not like they don't. There's a lot of stuff going on in this game at all points in times, even if it's just like GBL still isn't fixed yet. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Something.
But I think the problem is that communication is not just in the broad strokes like that. It's in the details that get people upset. This is going to be an obvious one. Shiny rates still not disclosed for anything. That's a communication thing. A lot of other games have started to have to do that kind of stuff because of like gambling laws and stuff like that. It will happen eventually. Like it will eventually. It's a matter of time. Egg rates, you know, spawn rates, communication of what is gonna spawn versus what's gonna be in raids. That's the kind of stuff that is very frustrating when the communication fails. Not necessarily what they're working on down the road. Because personally, a lot of players aren't gonna care what's coming next month. They care about what's coming this weekend. Does that make sense?
No, that does. And I think we need a calendar in the app, man.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I think that's what we need.
Do we need a calendar? That calendar needs interactive buttons. When you click the button, it shows everything that's involved in that event.
Let's not get carried away.
No. This is how you communicate with your player base. The game tells you nothing. It tells you nothing.
That's very true. I'm not going to disagree with that.
Put all of the info in the game. If it means we're out of work here, you know, so be it. But like, the game will be better for it, and that's what I care about.
When's the last time you've actually read a news update in client?
Absolutely never. I will read it on Reddit, or I read it here.
I agree. I agree. I'm the same way. I see, oh, cool, this dropped. I guess I'll go to my computer and look it up. Like, I don't read it. And it's just, it's frustrating for me. I understand why they do it. I'm sure there are plenty of players that do it. They peruse the events and the details and things like that. But I like seeing the screen. I like seeing the layout. I like seeing that format a lot better than just narrow text dump. Because if there's one thing Pokemon Go does really well, it's communicating with a lot of words that are unnecessary.
Oh, God, that's so true.
It's super bulky. And you hear it here because we read it verbatim most of the time. Because sometimes it's kind of funny, you know. But, like, while we rely on the consistent verbiage, at the same time, can we trim the fat a little bit? Hire somebody that makes infographics, because there's a million of them doing it for free.
The infographics, they work so well. Very concise. They bring information together. And it works so good on an app format. We're getting slightly distracted, but I think my point is that it's communication all the way down, not just at a macro level.
Yeah, yeah.
That we're looking at.
Okay, so besides that one negative aspect, this overall is spectacular. All the complaints that I had about the reaction to the creator post about it feeling hollow, impersonal, a corporate punt, I do not get any of that with this. There are some specific promises. There is a tone. There is a person speaking from a first person perspective of importance. And this felt good to me.
I agree. It is an overall positive. It's good. They address a lot of the stuff. Just gonna wait to see more.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But anyway, we could probably talk about this for a long time, so we're not going to. We're going to move on to the next piece of news, because there's other stuff to talk about. But if you haven't read this or taken a look at it, I'd recommend going and perusing it. Maybe check out the last little bit of that blog post that we didn't read to you, but it's great. So we have a new event, Psychic Spectacular 2021. They mentioned this in passing in the September overview, and now here are some details. As we hinted at in our September events blog, two Pokemon will be making their Pokemon Go debuts during this year's Psychic Spectacular event. Inkay, the revolving Pokemon, and Malamar, the overturning Pokemon. So, Kyle, I'm going to let you explain it. What's the cool thing with these Pokemon?
These Pokemon evolve by, in the main series game, turning your 3DS upside down. And that triggers the evolution after a certain level, I think. And it's one of the most unique evolutions at the time, at least.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
Runigrigus wasn't in the game.
When is this event? It's from Wednesday, September 8th at 10 a.m. to Monday, September 13th at 8 p.m. local time. So you get, like, you know, 5 full days-ish. Inkay and its evolution Malamar will be making their Pokemon Go debuts. Inkay will evolve only under unique circumstances. Hopefully you get to turn their phones upside down. I hope. Trainers who have journeyed through the Kalos region in X and Y may have an inkling as to what those circumstances might be. Yeah, okay. That's pretty straightforward. The next part of the Season of Mischief special research story, Misunderstood Mischief, will unlock. Something's got psychic-type Pokemon all worked up, and they're appearing more often in the wild. Sounds like the perfect opportunity to learn more about them. You never know. You might learn more about Hoopa as well. It's probably a fair bet we will, considering that's the theme of all of this. But regardless, psychic-type Pokemon like Abra, Drowsy, Gothita, Solosis, and more will be appearing more frequently in the wild. If you're lucky, you might encounter others like LGM and Inkay. Psychic-type Pokemon will be appearing in raids throughout the event. Staryu, Chimecho, Bronzor, Espeon, and Inkay will be appearing in one-star raids. Kyle, we can farm Staryu encounters for the shiny.
All of the Staryus.
We can do it. And in 3 stars, you're going to have Alolan Raichu, Wobbuffet, Medicham, and Metagross. And in 5 stars, it's going to be Lugia still, and Mega Slowbro is appearing in Mega Raids currently. By completing themed field research tasks, you can encounter event-themed Pokemon like Woobat, Inkay, and more. Take a snapshot once a day for a surprise. I don't know actually what it's going to be. Could be anything. I don't think it'll be Inkay. You don't? Do you?
No. It might be.
Could be.
But being in raids and field research reward, I'd be very surprised if it was.
Yeah, me too. And then lastly, you'll be able to get new stickers inspired by psychic type Pokemon by spinning Pokestops, opening gifts, and purchasing them from the in-game shop. All right, Kyle, give me a highlight before I move on. Are you excited for this event? What are you looking forward to?
I love Malamar. Like, I think it is a supremely designed Pokemon. Gonna talk about it later on, but it's really cool. So it's great to see it coming to go, but also more chances for Staryu is good for me. I still want the shine, even if it doesn't look good in Go.
Oh, 100%. 100%. My highlight is definitely the release of Inkay and them pretty much confirming that the evolution will be fun, sort of gimmicky for Malamar. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Imagine how many of these are going to be evolved by accident, by people that have no idea what they're doing. I'm excited for those stories more than anything else. But yes, Staryu in one stars. I'm going to be right there. We better be sending these to each other the entire event. It'll be fun. But anyway, the last event here, and it's actually a series of events in this news story, the rescheduled Safari Zone event details. A long, long time ago, in a world far away from seemingly from ours, back in 2020, we were supposed to have some Safari Zones, which are like pop-up mini Go Fests that celebrate a particular area, like a city. There were three of them: Liverpool, Philadelphia, and St. Louis. And they all got canceled because right around the time the first one or two were supposed to kick off, we got, you know, into lockdown mode. And then, yeah, it was wild and scary, but people already had tickets. So they did an at-home substitute event and said, we're going to still do something else in the future. So that is this. Trainers, we know how meaningful and rewarding it is to connect and explore together in the real world through our live events. That's why we're excited to announce new dates for the Safari Zones originally planned for 2020. So the Liverpool one is scheduled for Friday, October 15th to Sunday, October 17th in Sefton Park. And the Safari Zone for Philadelphia is now scheduled for Friday, October 29th to Sunday, October 31st. Happy Halloween in Fairmount Park. And the last one, St. Louis, is now scheduled for Friday, November 12th to Sunday, November 14th, my sister's birthday, in Tower Grove Park. Additionally, the start and end times for Safari Zone St. Louis have shifted 1 hour to provide the best possible on-site experience. That's pretty cool. So what's the haps with this? Can you get tickets? Is it just for people that had it? We're going to get into all of that. Not only will these Safari Zone celebrations take place in their original park locations, but also ticket holders will be able to participate in the event they have a ticket for, no matter where they are in the world. Global event hours will be based on each participant's local time. For example, a Friday early access ticket for Safari Zone Philadelphia will grant event access on Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. local time. That is so cool. So we don't have people playing at 2 a.m. That's awesome. Ticket holders will be able to enjoy the following features whether they participate in an in-person event or play elsewhere globally. Featured Pokemon will be appearing in the wild and attracted to incense. There's going to be event-exclusive special research and field research tasks. Incense will last for 8 hours. Lure modules will last for 4 hours. Special 2 kilometer eggs will be available. And for Safari Zone Philadelphia ticket holders, take a snapshot for a surprise. All ticket holders who would like to join an in-person event must RSVP. That is so that we will have an accurate count of those who plan to attend an in-person event to make sure we keep the event space safe for distance gathering. Ticket holders will receive an email with more information on how to RSVP soon. Safari Zone ticket holders will now see an updated time and date for their event in the events tab. I checked mine today. It does, in fact, look different and has information on it. Ticket selections have not been modified. For example, if you purchased a Friday early access ticket, you'll have a Friday early access ticket for the updated event. No additional tickets will be sold for these events. It's kind of a shame. Sorry, y'all, but this is kind of a really old event. The City Explorer Pass experience has been removed from these events. That was something that they were talking about before. And for those who purchase this add-on, we'll have it refunded, and Niantic will initiate all refunds by October 2nd, 2021. So if you did buy the City Explorer Pass experience, keep an eye out for that. It's important. And we're working closely with local authorities to design safe event experiences, implementing precautions such as careful line management, social distance protocols, and mask requirements for all staff members. When planning your Safari Zone experience, please follow all local health guidelines and pay attention to any travel restrictions. If these events must be postponed again due to governmental guidance or direction from local authorities, we will notify ticket holders as soon as possible. Well, gee, I hope so. All right, Kyle, I just did a lot of talking. You got any thoughts on this at all?
Maybe this is going to be surprising to you. This is weird to me.
Really? How so?
It's happening at all. And that it's not only in person. Like, I know March 2020 is a long time ago at this point, like literally, but also because of all of the parasocial stuff going on right now. I was very satisfied with the ticketed local experience of those events.
I was too.
To duplicate it is almost like, I don't want it kind of thing. We have tickets for all three events, and you know, we will get access to these because of that. It's just kind of surprising. Maybe it's like too much of a good thing to me. Almost everybody who had the previous tickets did get to do their experience locally because they managed to shift everything in time at that point.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, we'll have to see as we get closer what the in-person stuff is going to look like and stuff like that. I don't know. See if they're going to change the featured Pokemon, because if it's the same stuff over again, I'll accept being able to catch more Relicanth.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it, right? You know, I did take a look, Kyle. St. Louis is only a 5-hour drive away, one way.
It's
you up for another road trip, buddy?
Maybe.
We could leave at 3 a.m., get there before the event starts, and I'll have you back by 10.
That sounds absolutely awful. I'd rather get a B&B for like one night.
Okay. Fine. You don't want to do the endurance challenge? I see. We could vlog the whole thing.
You look after Indianapolis, you know that driving home your leg would give out.
My leg would give out. I don't want to risk running over a ladder again.
God.
Oh geez. I still no damage at all.
So crazy.
We got so lucky. I don't think we told this story. I'll tell it really quick. It's like a 30-second story. So we're driving back on the highway. My leg is cramping up, irrelevant to the story. We're like behind a car. This car in front of us is raised maybe like, I don't know, an inch or two higher than our car is. Just taller, right? And they go straight over a ladder in front of us. We're both going like 70, 80 miles an hour, right? And it's such that I couldn't, because there's so many cars on the road, that I couldn't see the ladder until it was out from underneath our car. And I couldn't go left or right in time, because left, I would have taken us into the divider, and right, I would have taken us into another lane. But more importantly, the tires would have hit the stinking ladder. That was
the ladder was street. Perfectly centered in the lane.
Yep.
There was no avoiding it.
So I lined it up and went, and Kyle went,
And it was just like, it was like, ka-chunk. And we're like, well, we'll check that in like 50 minutes when we get to my house.
Yeah. Are we okay? I can't tell. The car was fine. We're fine. But boy, I think we took a year off our lives in that moment.
It was like 1 second total.
Man.
And it was just like, was that a ladder?
If I had hit that with a tire, that would have been bad news, man.
Maybe. Maybe not, though. Tires can be durable.
Yeah, we would have gotten some. We got gotten a little bit of a jump, though. A little boop, you know.
But anyways, St. Louis is a maybe. We have a little bit of time, although not very much.
Yeah,
not very much.
Yeah. So we do have tickets to each of these events, and we will be participating either in the remote, which is what I'm guessing, or maybe we can make it to St. Louis. We'll have to see. But I would like to agree with your notion that it is kind of surprising. I did feel like the stand-in global event that we got, the remote play we got last year, was more than sufficient. I felt completely fine as well. This seems almost unnecessary. I agree. But I think they wanted to give people an option to travel, because some things are opening up despite some growing numbers in several places, including here. But, you know, whatever, local authorities are going to local authority, I guess. So I don't know. It's interesting. I'm glad they're doing both, though. You know, if they for some reason were under the thumb of something or somebody to make these live events happen, I'm glad that they're doing it in tandem with a remote option, because people need the option, the choice right now, for sure. All right. That's the news. That means, Mr. Kyle, are you ready? I'm going to toss it to you. Now, don't get it twisted. Let's gear up.
So this week on Gear Up, I already mentioned it a little earlier. Going to talk about Inkay and Malamar. Going to get this out of the way real quick. It's awful for PvE. It's tremendously terrible, even if it wasn't in two extremely competitive typings. That is Dark and Psychic. Psychic, I don't really need to go into it. Dark has some very, very strong options. The Forerunner being Darkrai, of course. But
so it doesn't have a water typing?
No. No water typing.
Interesting.
But going to talk about PvP real quick, just because it's the only thing that's probably worth mentioning for Malamar. As I mentioned, it's Dark Psychic, which is a very interesting typing. It means it only has one resistance, Psychic, and two weaknesses. 4 times weak to Bug and 2 times weak to Fairy. It's a surprisingly neutral Pokemon. I'm kind of curious how it matches up with like every other Pokemon that's not got a normal typing in terms of resistances. Because it was a very short list when I looked it up. But is it going to be any good? Does it have any worth? Well, take all of this with a grain of salt. It's comparing stuff through PvPoke simulations, and they have their own faults, as people who use it know. Moveset, Psycho Cut, and Superpower and Foul Play. Those who don't know, for Superpower, you really want to fire off two at the same time, or as close as possible to doing that, because it gives you that stat down, and then you don't want to stay around anymore. Thankfully, I noticed that PvPoke actually has that coded into their simulations. They did not used to, which is really cool.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah, I was prepared to give a warning, and I went to go check the battles and stuff, and it's actually there. So
they're really simulating cool, like particular moves usage tendencies.
Yeah, they're simulating farming up 80 energy instead of 40 and firing immediately, which is how the system used to work.
That's amazing.
So, assuming a one shield scenario, in Great League, it has a win rate of 26 wins, 30 losses against the meta Pokemon. It's not too terrible. Like, that's pretty all right, all things considered. It's like 46%. Don't ask me to do the percentage right now. I didn't write it down. As expected, loses horribly to Charmers. Like, just, it's got to be one of the fastest swaps you can possibly imagine. But it beats some really strong Pokemon. It beats Hypno, Resound. It beats Hypno as badly as it loses to Charmers. So, if you really don't like Hypno, it's a good choice. Beats Melmetal, Obstagoon, Registeel, Swampert, Galarian Stunfisk, and Jellicent. It's a lot of big names in that list. As I already mentioned, Superpower is very reliant on firing off two in quick succession, which also means plenty of these matchups rely on baiting with Foul Play, which has a similar energy cost to Superpower. So your win rate can vary pretty significantly depending on how well that works out or how good your opponent is, all that kind of mind games. For Ultra League, it's not quite as impressive. 21 wins, 38 losses against the meta. That's just not good. And it also needs to be level 50 in order to do it. Like, ugh. A couple of noteworthy wins. It beats both forms of Giratina.
Wow.
Although Origin is a much closer match that would be easily flipped by energy differences, lag,
shields,
anything like that. Beats Jellicent, Charizard, and XL Stunfisk, Galarian Stunfisk. So, you know, I don't know why you would use this and take it all the way to 50 just to use it, but maybe there's something there that is not quite in the numbers.
It might be good in like a third flex spot, or if you do a take six, pick three, it'd be nice to have a round depending.
I feel like there's probably going to be a Silph Cup where it's really strong.
Oh, sure. Sure. I think the stage is sort of set for a Pokemon like this that kind of walks the line, doesn't have terrible base stats.
Yeah,
I mean, it does, but has a great move pool.
If it has a scenario where there are like no Charmers at all for any reason, it's going to be very strong because Bug is not exceptionally popular, all things considered.
Shame.
It's got a couple of standouts, like, you know, Galvantula.
Well, yeah. And Lasagna Bug.
Lasagna Bug.
Yeah.
No.
Kressel? Yeah.
No. But overall, I already said, I think Malamar is a really cool Pokemon. So I'm kind of glad to see it has some potential. And I look forward to seeing where it finds itself.
All right. Well, that's reason enough to look forward to the Psychic Spectacular event then. So yahoo. Thanks, Kyle. We're going to do Pokelore this week, y'all. It's going to be short, but we're going to be covering new Pokemon. So
the shortest Pokelore in existence.
Well, I cut out the physical descriptions this time because you know what these look like. They look like squirrels.
They are squirrels.
Yes.
Does the description have squirrel-like in the description?
I didn't feel like being angry today.
I am upset because now I must look. Oh my God, it does.
Kyle, why'd you tell me? I was living in a house, sleeping in a comfortable bed, all of which was constructed with the base material of ignorance. How could you do this to me?
The first line, I'm going to let Chris read the Pokelore, but the first line of its actual description is Squobat is a squirrel-like Pokemon. It is grayish brown in color.
I'm dead. All right. We're doing Squovet, the cheeky Pokemon, and Greedent, the greedy Pokemon this week. Squovet's up first. Yes, squirrel-like Pokemon. It's a squirrel. Using its special cheeks, Squovet can stuff a tremendous amount of food and can stretch to many times its normal volume. It normally fills its cheeks with berries, but if it's feeling full, it can temporarily keep the extra food in its tail fur. Squovet's habit of eating berries nonstop has made it more resilient than it appears. If its cheeks are ever completely empty of berries, it becomes very uneasy. Squovet will appear on farms looking for more berries to eat. When they are not eating berries, they spit out the seeds in the rich soil in order to cultivate berry trees. It has a habit of hiding and adding to its food storage, also known as caching. All right. Next up is Greedent. Yeah, I know that was pretty short, but next up is Greedent. True to their name, Greedent are extremely greedy and gluttonous. Greedent stuff their tails with so many berries that these berries fall out constantly, especially when it is hit or faints. Dim-witted, Greedent will not often notice the loss of their food they store. Its sharp teeth are strong enough to gnaw through the strongest of berry shells. Wow. Stats. Max CP at 40 is 2370. Ugh. At level 50, 2679. Don't take it to 50. There's no reason to do that. 260 stamina, which is actually huge. 156 defense, which is not great. And 160 attack, which is equally not great. Best moveset is actually Tackle and Body Slam. Although I see a note from my editor here. I mean, Kyle. Says Bullet Seed Body Slam with Crunch for PvP is quite good in Ultra League. Great. I was just about to just, you know, make some nasty comments about this Pokemon. So thank you for stopping me.
It's ranked like 15th.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Really?
Sorry, hang on. It's 18th. I'm sorry. Okay. XL Greedent is 18th in Ultra League.
Open. That's nutty. That is absolutely nutty.
And yes, it needs to be level 50.
I'm out. I'm out. But Tackle and Body Slam showed up for PvE, and that's hilarious to me.
It's awful. But
gotta get that normal stab, you know? Anyway, so, that's Squovet and Greenit. What were you going to say?
It's potentially useful.
Apparently. I'm very surprised. Is it going to have its time in the limelight like Bibarel did?
No, I think it's going to be more like Diggersby.
Oh, that's actually pretty... That's a strong statement. Diggersby is really good.
It's ranked very similarly in Ultra League versus Diggersby in Great League.
Weird.
It, actually identical. Oh, my God. Diggersby is ranked 18 in Great League.
Oh, my God. You called it, man. Jeez. All right. Well, I'm a little bit more excited for Greedent than I thought I was. But I like Squovet. I think the cheeks are cute. Greedent's funny, but I did play through Sword and Shield twice, so I hate it.
I really dislike Greedent. You right. It is the most common Pokemon in the entire of Gen 8, and it's very frustrating.
And Kyle's only played like 20 minutes of that game, and so you know it's got to be bad.
I played like 20 hours, thank you.
You still didn't finish the game.
Well, I finished the game. The DLC doesn't count.
Oh, you need the DLC.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'll get to it. I have too many games on my plate.
Okay, all right.
But I beat the game.
What sort of? Why are you putting games on a plate, man? That's weird.
Where else are you gonna put them?
Are you on a shelf?
I mean, in the cloud? All those. Don't you really like the spray bitter that they put on the Switch games?
Yes, I do. I've become addicted to it. I just sit there and just put it on my tongue and sit there for hours. Yep. I'm like, wow, this is great. This is awesome. I do drink Malort, so I'm assuming that's a step up, you know? Anyway, that's the end of Pokelore, which means we're going into Pokepoll now.
So last week's Pokepoll question was, if you could add a move to any Pokemon's move pool in Pokemon Go, what move would you pick and for which Pokemon? First response is from Wang J. Chen. They said, I wouldn't want to give this Pokemon a new move, but give its fast move a boost multiplier. I would like Slaking's fast move Yawn to attack raise times 2, and instead of capping off at 4, it increases as many times as it can. Will this help Slaking? No. But the irony of this improvement is kind of funny, don't you think? So Yawn increased your attack by 1 stage every time you use it. Because that's what Power Up Punch does. It increases your attack by 1, caps at 4.
Yeah.
If you made it like a 10-turn fast move, might be something.
Sure. The next one's from Carlo. And he said, I want to give Absol Night Slash, a solid spam evading move, to pair with the nukes already in its Pogo move pool. Mega Horde for Umbreon and other bulky dark types. Thunder for waters and flyers, or payback as a stab heavy hitting move. Ooh, yeah. Night Slash should be great on Absol. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would love it. It'd be awesome to give Absol a little bit of play.
Next one's from J1718. They said, I would want Gengar to have Dream Eater, a great move in the main series game. Or I would also say Arcanine's Extreme Speed. Is that where the Pokemon's speed goes to the extreme?
It went from a frying pan to a drying pan.
Was certainly a reliable move in the main series game. Curious if Go would ever add speed into PvP.
God, it'd be so cool if they did, but no. Well,
first off, Dream Eater, I would love to see how they would handle Dream Eater. Although, in this world, it would have to be some kind of debuff move, in which case, probably not great for Gengar, because he's too squishy. He wants to just deal his damage. But, as a move, exciting. I have so many ideas for how speed could work in PvP. Niantic would never put the effort in. It's too much effort. It definitely could be done, but
they'd have to overhaul everything, and that's a big ask right now when the base stuff needs work.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Gravy 2 said, self-destruct / explode on everything. Yes. Let's do it. I want them to have self-destruct in this game so bad.
What would its base power be?
300.
Okay. I was thinking something very similar. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if you had a bad matchup against somebody that was tanky, it wouldn't kill him, but it would do the job most of the time.
And then you just shielded it, and your Pokemon dies. Yes. And theirs is fine. And you're like, exactly. Well, now I leave.
Exactly. Love it. God,
it'd be awful. Next one's from Ramirez Rex 96. I want to see Dragon Ascent on Rayquaza. It would be nice to use something other than Sky Attack Moltres for raids.
You take that back. Sky Attack Moltres is a bro.
Dragon Ascent on Rayquaza will be happening in like 38 years.
So if it isn't phenomenal, it's bad.
Yeah. But the fact we still don't even have Precipice Blades or Origin Pulses.
We bring this up every time, yeah.
But Dragon Ascent is the Rayquaza equivalent, and they're from the same generation.
No, I agree. I agree with you. I really do. We have some emails as well, and this first one is from Axiom Nor. Hi, Chris Attoon and Clef Kyle. I got a cool Pokemon, and you did. This is a great Pokepoll question. It really got me thinking about what moves, or lack thereof, hold Pokemon back. While I would love to have a Shuckle with Rock Wrecker, my actual answer is Dunsparce with Poison Sting. It's less of a meme than it sounds. Dunsparce has Drill Run and Rock Slide as charge moves. Giving it a decent fast move would make it, almost, viable in PvP. Hope you're having a great week. Happy Season of Mischief. Axiom Nor. I would agree.
What kind of CP does Dunsparce get up to? Also, Is Dunsparce not ground? Am I losing my mind?
Dunsparce is normal type.
What?
Yeah.
It's just normal?
Yeah, it's a normal monotype. And its CP can get up to 1700 on this one I'm looking at right now. It's not perfect, though.
Looks like 1909 at level 50.
There you go. Yeah. So it could make it into Great League.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's normal type. I don't fault you for thinking it was ground type, though. It does kind of scream.
Okay. We were on this topic a little earlier in the show. Not today, but weeks ago. Dunsparce deserves an evolution so badly.
100%.
It needs to like grow to 100 feet tall and be this monstrous thing. It's just,
it should have evolved into Drampa.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair, too.
That would have worked.
Fair take.
Mm-hmm.
Justice for Dunsparce.
True. But thank you for the email there, Axiom. I appreciate it.
Next email response is from Greninja Muffin. They said, hello, Chris and Kyle. My response to the poke poll would probably be to give Greninja Water Shuriken. I love Greninja, and I really don't want to wait another 2 years for its community day for Water Shuriken to be released. I must say, however, that I second the idea of giving Giratina Shadow Punch. Gotta get that stab bonus. See what I did there? Have a fantastic rest of your week.
I feel bad we didn't think of that. That's funny.
That's pretty good.
That's on the money, dude. Yeah.
I'd love to see what Water Shuriken would look like, because Hydro Cannon is so busted. How do you make it a water move worth using over Hydro Cannon in these scenarios?
Yeah, I think what they should start doing is start introducing these moves on these starters and make them like 5 damage better or 5 energy less, like something very minimal. So that they have an answer for these things. So they're just as powerful, or if not just a little bit better than mm-hmm. these other Pokemon.
Yeah.
So that we can look forward to like when Froakie gets a community day, it's like, oh boy, it gets Hydro Cannon. No. Give us Water Shuriken and make it as effective as Hydro Cannon, infinitely more interesting.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
But this last one is from Ace Trainer Ash. Hi, Chris and Kyle. This is my first time writing in. You both do an amazing job. And coupled with the PvP corner, I sincerely hope you all continue for many years to come, as I really have no idea what I'd listen to while out on my pogo walks. Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you. I do have other suggestions, though, if you're looking for additional shows. Hit me up. In response to last episode's PokePoll, I have a suggestion that would just about break the game. In the main series games, Togekiss learns Aura Sphere. Imagine if it were to learn Lucario's signature nuke move. All the steel types that threaten it would bow down in fear.
Oh my God.
This email finds you both well and isn't too long. Shiny vibes all. Ace Trainer Ash. Could you imagine a Togekiss like opening up its mouth like Patamon and just pa?
That's hilarious.
It'd be amazing.
It's not even like an event move or something to learn. It's just in its move pool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Entei, I think, can also learn Aura Sphere, but it was only a one time event type thing. So yeah,
had to do a redemption in a location or something like that.
Yeah. So that would be funny.
Yeah.
This week's PokePoll is, let's pretend that Niantic has decided that there are too many reoccurring events every week/month and have asked you to remove one. Which event do you remove and why? Example, raid hour or spotlight hour during the week, or community day for monthly. All right, Chris, I feel like you got to have an answer.
Yeah, I really think that spotlight hour is not good the way it is. I don't like it. The only thing I like about it right now is that it does give access to some bonuses like transfer for candy and stuff like that. Those bonuses outside of event time. So you have a regular chance to maximize you cleaning out your box, and that's cool. But other than that, I feel like Spotlight Hour doesn't serve a lot of purpose, because the Pokemon chosen for it are usually exceedingly bland. And an hour isn't really that long enough to really hunt for something. You know what I mean? It's at a weird time right after people get off of work. I don't know. I personally don't like spotlight hours, so it can be gone.
I am very much of the same opinion for spotlight hour of all of these. Also, just to be different, although I have more to say about spotlight hour, I think raid hour has lost a lot of its significance with the addition of remote raids.
Sure.
I think it is much easier to repeatedly do multiple of the same raid boss whenever you want to now, or at least more on demand. And I feel like raid hour could be fine-tuned, could be improved, replaced with some kind of improvement.
I think they should just replace it so that it's that every day between 6 and 8 make raids pop a little bit more frequently in general.
I think one of my biggest issues with raid hour and spotlight hour is actually it's the same thing across both. They happen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6 to 7. It's a bad time slot, in my opinion. And I know I'm biased because I work that time. But I'm not saying it because I'm at work. I'm saying it because on the days that I wouldn't be at work, it's right after dinner. Like, it's right when usually people are winding down for their day or starting mm-hmm. to do other activities. And on the few days that I've gotten off at 6 or whatever on a Wednesday to do raid hour, I have to get off work, go raid, because it's only an hour. You only can get, depending on your location, you know, 8 or 10 raids in perfectly type of thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. And that's if you're not really catching.
Yeah, exactly. It's more like 6, 7, maybe, depending on how long the catches take.
5 to 7. Yeah.
And yeah, so the timing kind of feels bad, especially for raid hour, but slightly for spotlight hour as well.
I feel like the whole conversation about raid hour plugs really well into the conversation we had after day 2 of this year's GoFest, when you and I were like, it was fun, there were a lot of things available, but the frustration around the core mechanic of raiding and the systems that it's set up are just so inherently flawed that it makes it difficult to enjoy at points in time. And raid hour, I think, is one of those points in time.
Yeah, that hour of raid, that raid hour, 60 minutes, 50 of them are spent in a lobby.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Not, like, I'm not even joking. No, 50 of them are spent loading in, loading out, and waiting in the lobby.
Yeah, and it's not like you're socializing like you used to, because like you also said, the remote raid passes kind of made this into a different sort of event. Well, anyway, if you, dear listener, have an answer to this question, let's pretend that Niantic has decided that there are too many recurring events every week/month and have asked you to remove one. Which event do you remove and why? You can answer us when we post that question on Twitter. If you're a patron of ours, you can post it in the channel for PokePoll questions. You can also send us a voicemail to 262-586-7717, or, of course, you can send us an email the old-fashioned way to mail@gocastpodcast.com. Looking forward to hearing your answers. But now's the time of the show where we pass it on over to our lovely PvP Corner co-hosts. It'll be DeFi-E and Fish on the Heater, as per usual, over to the two of you. This week, they're going to be covering the next GBL season details that we did not cover last week, because they're much more qualified than we are, and some other surprises as well. Over to the two of you.
Hi, I'm Fish on the Heater.
And I'm DeFi250.
And this is PvP Corner, the PvP segment that is number one on the Billboard charts. DeFi, what is going on in PvP?
It's here, Fish. We have it. We have the information. Go Battle League Season 9 is upon us. And we have a duty, we have an obligation to our listenership to bring all of that information to you.
It is probably a lot later than what we would have liked to bring this information to you, but we are happy to have it, and we are excited to report on it and give our takes. So, first, DeFi, before we get into that, let's give some quick updates, like GBO updates. What's currently going on for you in GBO? Are you enjoying the start of Season 9? What was your final result in Season 8?
Oh, I am excited to talk about the end of Season 8. That was amazing.
Okay.
I did go Battle Night for a few hours, and just, it was crazy. I had like a 4-1 set, and a 4-1 set, and a 4-1 set, and then a 5-0 set, and a 3-2 set, and a 4-1 set. Like, I had so many positive sets. Wow. I rocketed all the way up to expert. My highest ELO for the evening, I think, was like 29, 24 or something. I got really close. Yeah, 29, 24 was my ELO. That was the first time I'd ever hit expert. I've only ever gotten up to veteran before and around that 2,500 mark. So it was super cool.
Wow, yeah, that's very impressive.
It was amazing. It was awesome. It was very exciting. We have the jingle for our bet, our big bet for the Sylph Arena season. Who did better on the global rankings? It was Fish, which sounds like he should have won because he did better, but he bet against himself, so he lost. So he wrote that jingle. I've been told good things. I'm excited to listen to it for the very first time at the end of the show.
It's going to be a dumpster fire, DeFi. So we'll close out the show with that.
All right. Are you ready to get into the meat and potatoes, the Season 9 copy from PokemonGoLive.com?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. Straight from the blog, here it is. Trainers, Go Battle League Season 9 is set to kick off. Your ranking at the end of this season will be more important than it ever has, so make sure to start your climb early. As the season progresses, we'll have more to share how this season's results will impact things going forward, so stay tuned. That sounds so ominous.
I know, right? I can't wait to see what they put in place that's going to make it more important to rank up early.
So the start date, it has already started on Monday, August 30th, and the rank up requirements are exactly the same as they were last season. Taking a look at the schedule, we have August 30th to September 13th. What we're in right now is the Great League and Great League Remix. Then we'll have 2 weeks of Ultra League and Ultra League Remix after that. Then we'll have Master League, Master League Classic, and something called the Little Jungle Cup, where during those 2 weeks, it'll be triple Stardust from Win Rewards, not end of set rewards, just Win Rewards. 2 weeks after that, we'll have the Great League and the Halloween Cup, which begins on October 15th. Next 2 weeks will be Ultra League, Ultra League Premier Classic, and continuing the Halloween Cup, which ends November 2nd. Then we'll have 2 weeks of Master League, Master League Premier Classic. I'm going to say that again. Master League Premier Classic. And then something called Special Cup Player's Choice. We'll get into that in a little bit. During that 2 weeks, November 8th to 22nd, it'll be Triple Dust again with the Win Rewards. And then finally, we'll have one final week, November 22nd to the 29th, Open Week, Open Great, Open Ultra, and Open Master. Any thoughts on the schedule, Fish? Anything jump out to you right away?
Another little cup. Why DeFi?
I'm excited. Just to spite you.
They heard my constant disparaging of the last little cup, and they're like, we can't allow this guy to besmirch the good name of our little cups, so we're going to give him more little cups, and he can just take it, and he will be happy. Well, I'm not happy, DeFi.
Well, hopefully this next part will make you happy. What's new in Season 9? We have not Go Battle Nights, but Go Battle Days. To allow more trainers to participate, Go Battle Nights will become Go Battle Days from Go Battle League Season 9 onward. You have the same number of battles. It'll be 20 sets, a total of 100 battles, 4 times Stardust from Win Rewards. Again, not those end of set rewards, the Win Rewards. And those will be Saturday, September 18th, and it's the full day, 12 a.m. midnight to 11:59 p.m. And that's going to be during the Ultra League and Ultra League Remix. We'll have another one Monday, November 1st, and it'll be Ultra League Premier Classic and the Halloween Cup. And then Saturday, November 20th, and again, that full day, midnight to 11 p.m., and it's during Master League Premier Classic, and that special cup chosen by trainers will be active. Go Battle Days.
Yeah.
Go Battle Days. What do you think?
I think this is something that, like, of course, why didn't either of us think of that as just a quality of life improvement? Yeah, I can't think of any negative consequence of this currently. I think it's perfect, enabling you to get the sets in when it suits you. 6 hours, as long as that was, still isn't really enough to get in 20 sets, unless you really manage to fit them in. You get a few rage quits in there. it's just better to fit around our own lives. So kudos.
Exactly. No downsides. It's just a great quality of life update. Let's chat a little bit about the Season 9 rewards. Since the season of Go Battle League coincides with the season of Mischief featuring the mythical Pokemon Hoopa, you'll be able to encounter various psychic, ghost, and dark type Pokemon as encounter rewards throughout the season. Additionally, in celebration of Pokemon first found in the Galar region arriving in Pokemon Go, you'll be able to encounter Pokemon and earn avatar items inspired by the champion of the Galar region, Leon. So, you're guaranteed rank up encounters. You can encounter the following Pokemon once per season at the designated ranks. At rank 1, you will be guaranteed to encounter one of the Pokemon that Galar champion Leon is known to use, which is Charizard. Then at rank 6, you will have a guaranteed encounter with Mindfoo. When you hit Veteran at 2500 ELO, a guaranteed Noibat. An Expert level gets you a guaranteed Dino. And that Legend rank gets you a guaranteed Pika Libre, which could be shiny.
Yeah, I didn't know that coming into this.
That Pika Libre can be shiny?
Yeah.
I've seen some shiny Pika Libres on Twitter. It's cool. It is quite the achievement.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been that big into shinies. If I got a shiny Pika Libre, I would be absolutely keeping that forever.
Yes.
And like showing it to everyone, like, oh, hey, did you see my Pika Libre? Yes, we've seen it. Yeah, but like, look at it.
Buddy forever.
Yeah.
Just forever, buddy. Also, we have your standard encounter pool. When you're at rank 1, you can get Charmeleon, Nidorina, Hypno, Sableye, Gothita, and Solosis. Once you hit rank 6, Mindfoo gets added to the pool. At rank 11 and up, you can start getting encounters with Rhydon, Drifblim, Seismitoad, Frillish, and Litwick. Once you hit 16, a few more Pokemon go into the pool. Snorlax is a possibility. Remember, Snorlax can be shiny. Scraggy, as well as Rufflet, which can be shiny as well. Once you hit rank 20, the Pokemon that is currently appearing in 5-star raids has a chance of appearing as your reward encounter once you're at 20. At Veteran rank, you can start getting a Noibat, and at Expert rank, you can start getting Dino into that encounter pool. Any of these encounters stand out to you, Fish?
Not particularly. I have always been very ambivalent about, you know, whatever they decide to put in the reward pool is fine by me, because, like I mentioned before, I've never been a huge shiny hunter, so and unfortunately, I'm not the best person to ask. What about you? What do you think?
Oh, shiny Snorlax, shiny Rufflet, give me all of those chances. Shiny Dino is still really cool and sought after, even after it was kind of featured in Go Fest. Also, XL Candy, hello. Sableye and Drifblim and Frillish and Scraggy, all excellent candidates for XL Candy.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I should have thought of that. But yeah, so that's making me a little more excited. Nidorina as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For avatar items and other rewards, Pikachu Libre avatar items, you get that reward once you reach rank 3. And trainers are able to earn avatar items and a pose inspired by the champion of the Galar region, Leon, from Pokemon Sword and Shield. At Ace rank, you'll get the reigning champion sport glove. At Veteran rank, you get Leon's look sport cap. At Expert rank, you receive the reigning champion sport shorts. And at Legend, you receive the reigning champion sport top. Midway through Season 9, Leon's iconic pose will be added as a reward for trainers who reach Legend rank. So you don't get the pose right away. It'll come into play halfway through Season 9. And then at rank 19, you receive an Elite Charge TM, and you'll also get an Elite Fast TM as an end of season reward. I love Pokemon Sword and Shield. I very much enjoy Leon. He is silly and just extra, and I like him a lot. All right, let's get into the part I think we're both most excited to talk about. Let's talk, well, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm excited for these cups. Like, I think these cups are interesting. Do you would you agree, Fish? Am I speaking too much for you?
All except the little cup.
Well, let's get there. First up, though, we're going to have the Great League Remix. 20 Pokemon, most used by trainers, ace ranking up in the Great League, will not be allowed in the Great League Remix. So taking a look, it's pretty similar to the last Great League Remix. I can list them really quick. Venusaur, Alolan Ninetales, Alolan Marowak, Azu, Politoed, Umbreon, Skarmory, Swampert, Pelipper, Vigoroth, Sableye, Medicham, Altaria, Defense Deoxys, Bastiodon, Scrafty, Jellicent, Galvantula, Galarian, Stunfisk, and Talonflame. Those are the top used Pokemon, so they are all banned. And you've been playing this a little bit, Fish. What are some Pokemon that you've noticed have kind of come out to shine because all these others are locked up for these 2 weeks?
I've been seeing a lot of Whiscash, a fair amount of Obstagoon. I'm seeing more and more Mandibuzz, and Shadow Machamp is a big one. They're probably the biggest four I can think of. A lot of Registeel as well.
All right, so definitely lots of available picks still. Then we can take a look at the Ultra League Remix. So for the Great League Remix, they banned 20 Pokemon. For Ultra League Remix, they're banning 10. The 10 banned are Clefable, Alolan Muk, Swampert, Empoleon, Togekiss, Giratina Altered, the ones with the legs, Cresselia, Talonflame, Malmetal, and Obstagoon. So those are the 10 most used Pokemon by trainers Ace ranking up. So those are all banned during the Ultra League Remix. Here's Fish's favorite, the Jungle Little Cup. Pokemon must be at or below 500 CP to enter. Pokemon do not need to be able to be evolved in order to enter. Only normal, grass, electric, poison, ground, flying, bug, and dark type Pokemon are permitted. No Shuckle, no Smeargle. Darn, Shuckle would have been amazing.
And if anyone's wondering why that is, Shuckle is the Pokemon with literally the highest defense stat in all of the Pokemon universe. At level 50 in Pokemon Go, it has a max CP of 458, and its defense stat is 345. To put that into context, Defense Deoxys has a defense stat of 221. So it's like 50% more defensive than Defense Deoxys. And check this out. A Shadow Ball from Haunter will do 44% damage to a Shuckle. It's got 458 CP, and yet it can take two Shadow Balls from a Haunter.
That is insane.
Right. So that's why there's no Shuckle in this cup.
I'm going to sneak this in really quick in case Fish bans us from talking about the Little Jungle Cup when it comes out. But some Pokemon to watch out for are Cottonee, Galarian, Stunfisk, Wigglytuff, and Altaria. Again, these can be evolved Pokemon in here. So be on the lookout. Look, see if you have an Altaria under 500 CP. Do you have a Gfisk under 500 CP? Those are going to be some candidates.
Okay, moving on.
We'll have the Halloween Cup, which is kind of a fan favorite. Pokemon must be at or below 1500 CP to enter, and it's just type-based. So only Poison, Bug, Ghost, Dark, and Fairy-type Pokemon can enter. What do you notice? What stands out to you for Halloween Cup?
Just watching Azumarill stomp in through the trees like a T-Rex. Just roar.
I can imagine an Azumarill growling
right
at something. It's pretty fantastic.
The size of a T-Rex.
All right, so Azumarill, definitely something to look out for, but maybe also take a look for other Pokemon that can beat it, like Nidoqueen, Jellicent, Golbat, things like that. So Azumarill and maybe some Azumarill counters. We'll talk about it more when it gets a little closer. Finally, just quickly going to mention that special cup, which is player's choice. The copy says, we're interested to hear which prior special cup you'd like to see return this season. Stay tuned for a poll on Twitter later in the season to determine which cup will be held. If it is an option, I'm voting original little cup with that Bronzor. I want it.
And so that was the last episode of PvP Corner.
Okay, moving on. New attacks that were brought into the game. So Weather Ball, not really new, but it's gone back from being a rock type Weather Ball to now the normal type Weather Ball has returned.
I've got a challenge for you, DeFi. Can you describe normal weather for me without mentioning any other type of weather?
No. I cannot. It's just, I laugh when it says a new low energy cost normal type charge attack. It's not new. We had it before, but you turned it into rocks, and I don't understand it. Speaking of Weather Ball, though, Weather Ball is currently a little too efficient as a low energy charge attack. As a result, we're toning it down its damage just a touch, going from 60 to 55 damage.
And you don't need to worry too much about that, because it's not going to be super noticeable. I don't have the exact numbers on this is how much difference it will make, because, you know, a lot of Pokemon use Weather Ball, so it makes different amounts of difference to different Pokemon and different matchups. But as a point of comparison, like, do you remember when they nerfed Rock Slide and Sky Attack?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I barely did. Like, I only remembered, like, as we were writing up the copy for this segment. Like, it's hardly noticeable, and I think Weather Ball will be the same.
Next one is Crunch. I've noticed this already a little bit. We're adding an effect to this move when it's used in trainer battles to tie in with its effect in the core Pokemon RPGs. Now Crunch has a chance of lowering the opposing Pokemon's defense. So that's kind of just a fun little buff to Crunch.
And there's a lot of Pokemon that have Crunch, so a lot of Pokemon will be able to benefit from this. One Pokemon that I think will be very, very interesting to see if, like, anyone runs it with this move. Can you think of a Pokemon that you really like that has Crunch?
I mean, Tyranitar, but I don't think that's relevant here.
That is not what I was referring to. There's another one. You've mentioned it before on a recent episode. It giggles a lot.
Is it Greedent?
No. Did you ever see a Greedent giggling?
Yes. Frost. No.
Yeah.
Does Frostlass have Crunch?
Yeah. Frostlass knows Crunch.
Oh my gosh, Frostlass knows Crunch.
Right?
And so, Crunch, like, Frostlass meta, let's go.
No one ever runs Frostlass with Crunch because Avalanche and Shadow Ball are both such good moves. Maybe now with a 30% chance at dropping defense, it could see a little more play every now and then.
All right, Zap Cannon. We're adding an effect to this move when it's used in trainer battles to tie it in with its effect in the Pokemon RPGs. We hope this will provide Pokemon like Zapdos, Regirock, Magnezone, and Porygon-Z a chance to shine. Zap Cannon now has a guarantee to lower the opposing Pokemon's attack.
But it still takes, like, half a battle to get to. It is such a high energy move. I think 80 energy, which is, like, the equal second highest energy count for a move after Struggle.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so maybe we'll see an energy drop at some point in the future, but I believe in the main series games, Zap Cannon's a 5 PP move. Is that right?
I think so. I just know it is a beast of a move. It hits like a truck.
Yeah, so, like, if that's the case, then they'll probably want to keep it as a high energy move to keep it in line with those main series games.
Next up is Scald. They are lowering the energy cost of this charged attack and adding an effect to this move when it's used in trainer battles to tie in with its effect in the core Pokemon RPGs. For Scald, the energy cost has been decreased and it now provides a chance of lowering the opposing Pokemon's attack.
I find this one really interesting. It's a very, like, mid-strength move, so it's not super low energy, it's not super hard hitting, but it's very kind of middling on both of those things. So it's the same stats, the same damage and energy as Dark Pulse, Sludge Bomb, and Synchronoise. So it's a water Dark Pulse, basically. It also provides that point of difference on Vaporeon. I don't know if you remember, we were talking about how there's just no reason to run Scald on Vaporeon when you've got Aqua Tail and Hydro Pump. But Scald is now something a little bit different from those other two moves. So you do have benefits of running Scald on it if you want.
Fish, they hurt my poor bird. Feather Dance. They're increasing the energy cost of this charge attack slightly to make it harder to use as often. I have been waiting for Pidgeot for so long, and they nerfed Feather Dance before I even got to use it in Go Battle League. I'm upset.
Don't worry, DeFi. It is still a pretty OP move. The fact that it nerfs your attack 2 stages, I find still incredibly broken. So Feather Dance now takes 50 energy to get to, and if you're running Gust on your Pidgeot, it'll take 5 gusts to get to the first Feather Dance, but then it'll take 4 gusts to get to the next. Now, if you do want to keep using Feather Dance, it'll keep taking 4 gusts to get to each subsequent Feather Dance, but a Pokemon stat can only be nerfed 4 stages before it just won't go down any lower. So you only need 2 Feather Dances. You're not going to get any benefit from hitting it with more Feather Dances. So at that stage, you're just going to want to go Brave Bird.
The last move update is Mega Horn. We're giving Mega Horn a slight increase in damage to boost Nidoking, Heracross, and Escavalier's high-cost charge attack options. So Mega Horn used to do 100 damage. It now does 110.
Which is incredible. It's the second time that Mega Horn has gotten a boost, and it is becoming such a baller move. It's got a damage per energy count of 2, which puts it on par with moves like Meteor Mash, Hydro Cannon, Psy Strike, Leaf Blade and Avalanche, and there's other moves as well that have that DPE of 2. It's very hard to get to that DPE, but it's Mega Horn is now in that stratosphere. DeFi.
Yes, Fish.
I happen to have a legacy Rhydon that knows Mega Horn.
That's so cool.
Right?
I sense a meme team Monday. I sense it in my jellies.
I just might. I might have a reason to build my legacy Rhydon. It knows Surf as well, doesn't it?
Rhydon does know Surf, which I've always found to be silly. It's a rock type Pokemon.
But yeah, Surf Mega Horn sounds like a really good combination. I need to check out what fast moves it's got. Mudslap maybe would be all right.
Coming to you soon on a meme team Monday near you. All right, rapid fire. We've got attack availability updates. Some Pokemon now have access to new moves. We're going to go through these quick, and I'm saving the best for last. First up, though, is Nidoking. Nidoking now is able to learn Sandtomb.
Really good. Sandtomb is exactly the same as what Nidoqueen has with Poison Fang, where it's a 35 energy move that is guaranteed to drop your opponent's defense. It is glassier than Nidoqueen, so unfortunately not as good, but a little easier to obtain in Ultra League because it doesn't have to be XL'd to 50. And it also has Mega Horn, which we've just discussed how good that move is, so that would hit very hard.
All I heard was long live the queen. Nidoqueen is still better. Next up is Poliwrath. Poliwrath can now learn Scald.
Which is great because until now, its only other water charge move was Hydro Pump. Scald, like I mentioned before, with Vaporeon, gives it a good stab water move that is equivalent to a Dark Pulse, gets there very quickly with the Mud Shots.
Heracross can now learn the charge attack Rock Blast,
which allows it to pick up a lot of extra wins, but those wins generally come from the ability to bait with the Rock Blast rather than from the power of Rock Blast itself. Like, even if you go in against a flying type Pokemon, Rock Blast isn't that strong a move, and a lot of birds are bulky. And also, Heracross is taking that 2x super effectiveness from the flying. So it won't be able to rely on that Rock Blast, but it does allow you to bait, burn shields, and hit something with a close combat unshielded.
This one sounds fun. Manectric. Manectric's now able to learn the Fast Attack Thunder Fang and the Charge Attack Overheat. This thing gets 2 new moves. That's got to make it good, right, Fish?
Unfortunately not. Its win count does increase, but it still has more losses than wins. And also, in PvP, Snarl is definitely better than Thunderfang for this particular Pokemon. Like, Wild Charge and Overheat, definitely fantastic moves, and it's a very high-attack Pokemon, so they will hit hard. But really, you've got to have, like, an energy lead, and your opponent has to have no shields in play.
All right. This one seems kind of obvious now, but normal form cast form can now learn normal type weather ball. So it's back. It was learning rock type weather ball before, which was very interesting, but we're back to normal type weather ball now.
And that would make normal cast form the first Pokemon, as far as I'm aware, that can run double weather ball, which is an interesting idea. Or if you just want to run one or the other, you can really run like either one and you'd get different pros and cons from it. Like, obviously you're getting better coverage with the rock type, but normal gives it that stab, that same type attack bonus. So yeah, it's really up to you depending on what you want to get out of your cast form.
And then best for last, Kofagrigus gets the fast attack Shadow Claw,
which makes this Pokemon probably the biggest winner of the lot. I was actually running it for a little while myself at the start of Season 9. It is a ghost Pokemon, a Shadowclaw ghost Pokemon that is quite bulky by Great League standards. So it kind of has similar matchups to like a Haunter, but it can take hits.
I am so excited. This is one of those cases, Fish, where you get the good Great League PvP IVs and you save it and you sit on it and you sit on it. I've got the rank 7 Oof. Great League Kofagrigus and I am gonna use it. And that wraps it up. There is a lot that we get to look forward to this season, a lot that we get to enjoy, but we will be continuing to bring you all of the updates on Season 9 of Go Battle League.
Few quick plugs before we head off. First is I have appeared on the latest episode of Beginner to Winner, the PvP podcast, with Astro Zombie, Dino El Magico, and Wildcat Dad. It was a very fun time, and I encourage you to check it out if you are a fan of PvP. They are a fun group of people.
And I'm actually going to be appearing on Fish's live stream. He streams from Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube. And we're going to be doing our Go Battle League sets on Friday evening, America time, which is the best time, which is also known as Saturday morning in Australia. So be on the lookout for that. And if you miss it, you can always check out the VOD. You can always check the video out on YouTube when it goes up.
The next thing is we have talked in the past about a tournament that we are going to be doing to raise money for Gracie, who you would have heard a few weeks ago on this podcast. We have really good news. Gracie actually got in contact with us and said that she has covered all of her costs now, thanks to the wonderful support of this community. So, I mean, that's amazing. But it means that we've got all these battles sitting here and no beneficiary to raise money for. So we have decided to pick a charity to raise money for, and that will be Take This, which is an organization that focuses on mental health in the gaming industry. And the tournament will be streamed on the Team Rocket Academy Twitch channel on Saturday, September 4th, 7 p.m. Pacific time. And Team Rocket Academy, obviously hosted by SosaFlow, so it's all just coming around, isn't it? It all just ties in neatly.
We know who the good people are. And with that, we can close it out. We love hearing your feedback. If you have any suggestions or questions for Fish or myself, you can always direct your feedback to mail@gocastpodcast.com. In the show description, you can click on More Fish or More DeFi-E to take you to our other projects and ways to contact us. And before we see you next week, just know that you're about to be serenaded to by Fish with his jingle reveal. You might even get to hear me giggling in the background. I'm very excited.
So bad. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, we heard that you like PvP, but there's a little more to it. There's a show with tips for everyone, whether you're winning or losing. Battle tips from the professionals, the Silverina champions making their home on the GoCast Pod, along with Chris and Carl. Or is that Carl and Chris? Learning how to PvP. Have a go at PvP. Much more to it than blindly tapping on your screen. Brought to you by Fish and DeFi.
All right, thanks, Fish and DeFi. Oh my gosh. That jingle is amazing. It's amazing. I want to know where you got the band from, Fish. Come on. That was incredible.
Yeah, that was fantastic. It was so good.
Bring back Twitch Sings. Let's do it. I want to hear a live rendition of this in a Discord call or something.
Rip Twitch Sings.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even get a chance to do it before it was gone. Bummer. Anyway, welcome back to the section after PvP Corner, because it's still the show even when PvP Corner is still playing. But thanks again, the two of you. But now it's the second to last section, aside from goals. And it starts with an E, ends with an S.
And it's emails.
That's right. That's the middle of those two letters. There's more. It's mail. All right. I'm done with that bit. So, email section. The first email here is from Kelvin. Hey, guys. How's it going? How mischievous are you feeling this season? I've had a pretty slow couple of weeks shiny-wise. One of the first days of the Ultra Unlock 3, I got a shiny Trubbish. Awesome. Yeah. Followed by Aaron and Sentret. Literal Oof. Garbage. Since then, I've had a whopping zero shinies. Oof. I've even hatched more eggs than I intended to, but you know how I feel about incubators already, and I still fell for it again. You just gotta learn to accept it and make it part of your personality like I have. Now I have an evil suggestion. Prepare yourselves. April Fool's event next year. 40 meter spin distance. To remember the good things Niantic has done for us. And believe it or not, there will be Kecleons somewhere. I have two answers for the Poke Poll this week. First, C-Dot should learn Bullet Seed Ot, a new move I've created where C-Dot viciously spits inferior C-Dots at an enemy. Second up, Dugtrio learns Double Slap, in which the middle Diglett of the trio uses the front two Diglett's hands and slaps enemies with them. Only drawback is that there will be recoil damage for the, quote, hands, unquote, and it would devolve into a Diglett again. Love it. Have a good one. Kelv drinks custard, resident average player, Snapmaster, and no longer veteran, but I'll always remember the good times. Awesome. The Dugtrio double slap got me. That's funny.
This is a great time to share about shinies. I don't know if Chris has anything to say, but I got a shiny Galarian Farfetch'd last week.
That's right.
And it takes the cake for worst shiny in the game, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Easily dethroning Gengar and Garchomp by a lot.
Oh, I got a shiny Mudkip.
Wait, that was this week?
That was the 25th. I don't think I said it last week.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But I did post it and grab and gab and then, then Moo tagged you.
Moo tagged me. Just get a little digging.
Okay. Also, I have a bone to pick with you, Moo. Just really quick. He invites me to raids and then he posts. This is the second time this happened. He posts a screenshot in this other channel that we're in. Circled somebody who brought an Aggron and said invited Chris to a raid, and Aggron shows up.
Wait, did he do that again?
Time, yes, the second time it's happened to me. Amazing. Listen to me speak English to you, Andrew. I'm not bringing the Aggron, okay?
I need to see a screenshot of your Pokedex, of your inventory in Pokedex order. I want to see the CP of your Aggrons.
I've got some high ranking Aggrons, but they don't go in raid battles.
I don't believe it anymore.
I'm at the point where I'm gonna start screen recording all of the raids I do with Moo.
So this is a perfect mirror. We're going on a slight tangent because it's totally related. Moo invited me to a raid today, and he invites me to raids every once in a while. I usually get them too late or I was busy. This time I actually just took my lunch, so I'm like, okay, I'll do a Lugia raid. Why not? Whatever. I'm here. It was garbage. It was like 10, 12, 10 or something like that. I don't even know. I transferred it immediately. He tags me in Discord a couple minutes later and like, well, I guess I need to invite Kyle to raids more often and post a screenshot of a Shundo Lugia.
I'm so jealous.
And the best part is I got like 7 more raid invites from him the rest of the day. But I was at work or else I would have taken them 100%. So I just wanted to share that story. Sorry, it happened in emails. It's still funny. But back to the email.
No. Moral of the story is I don't bring Aggrons to raids. Don't you forget it. Okay.
And apparently I give Shundo luck every once in a while.
And don't you forget that either.
Anyways, though, about Dugtrio learning Double Slap, that move already exists. It is simply called Dragon Darts, and it's on another Pokemon called Dragapult.
Oh.
Where it shoots its young out of its face at the enemy, where they literally explode into an atom bomb mushroom cloud type explosion.
Does that Dreepy die?
I don't know. It doesn't actually.
Does it canonically pass away in the explosion?
I don't know about that. But
these are questions we need to ask.
Probably not. It's not as dramatic an explosion I make it out to be, but it's still, it's very relevant to the idea.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, thank you for the email, Kelvin. Really appreciate it.
Next email is from Jackson. He said, "Hello, guys. My answer to the poll is to give Pichu Earthquake. Why, you ask? It'd be funny. Can you imagine a Pichu destroying everything?
I love it. I love the mental image you've given me now.
Speaking of Pichu, I did something that Kyle would be upset of. I maxed out a 15-15-14 Pichu. 230,000 Stardust to a good cause." It was still a Pichu when you did it? Well, you know what you've done now. You've started a tradition. You have to max out all the babies.
True.
Otherwise, it just looks bad.
True.
Earlier this year, I wrote on how I got a shiny Glaring Ponyta with a hat. A week or so after GoFest, I was checking its IVs and saw a second shiny Glaring Ponyta. This one had no hat. I have no idea how I got it, but now I have a shiny Glaring Rapidash. All right. Bye, guys. Jackson. That's the best feeling. You sorting through your inventory and you're like, I didn't know I had this. All right.
There are several just like fringe shinies that I forget that I had that I caught like 2 years ago at an event.
Yeah, like it wasn't even like a plus situation or something. You got it. You forgot about it. Like I forget that I have a shiny Nincada until I see it in my inventory. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, yo, that's a great shiny. I'm glad I have that.
Remember the Voltorb everybody got from that one research?
Yeah.
And it just felt like I didn't earn it. So it never registered with me that I had a shiny Voltorb. And so I was like going through. It's like, oh, I've got it. When did I get that shiny Voltorb? Oh, everybody got that shiny Voltorb. That's right. That's right.
That was from the St. Louis Go Fest.
Fun fact. Yes, it was. Fun. That was a fact. And it was fun. Can't verify.
It might have actually been the Philadelphia Go Fest. Don't quote me on that one. One of them was Teddy Ursula. One of them was Voltorb. We'll see which.
if they recycle the same research or not. We'll get a reminder.
Maybe I'll post the question on Niantic when we're done here and see what they have to say.
Yeah, do it. I want to see what happens. Ask, please. This next email is from Michael. What's up, my dudes? My name is Michael, or Dark Angel in game. I'm currently level 39, and my buddy, aka favorite Pokemon, is my new shiny Umbreon that has 96 IVs. Not a Shundo, but I'll take it. I also love Absol. Hoenn is my OG favorite region. Unfortunately, yeah. I don't go outside much to walk given the death-like heat down here in Texas, nor is my area really worth it. Though my job ability helps with egg hatching and occasionally, usually for community days, my friend picks me up and we go to the mall to play. This Pokeball made me laugh out loud because I had the perfect answer with a little story behind it. In one of the stores, I spotted a stuffed stingray. I held it up to my friend and wiggled it at him and said, "Mantine, use double slap." Which made my friend chuckle. Boom. Mantine, double slap. Anyway, thanks for reading my email. Love the podcast and all the info. Just thanks for being great. You know what, Michael? Thank you for being great. That's hilarious. I want a manta ray to slap me twice. That's funny.
I love the visual of double slap as a move so much. The fact that it's in Pokemon Unite just makes it even better, too, when a giant hand appears and smacks back and forth.
Just smacks people around.
It works with everything. Double slap on everything works.
That's just it. That's our new campaign. Hashtag double slap for everyone.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you for the email, Michael. Appreciate it.
Last emails from John. They said, "Hey there, Chris and Kyle." John back again with another email this week. Short and simple question this week. If you were to come up with a new type in the Pokemon series, what would it be? I've seen things such as a light type or a sound type. It would be great to rework the type chart. Biggest buff for a typing I can think of is ice types. Maybe you could help the typing as it definitely needs a boost. Also, just OCD in mind, having 20 types instead of 18 would be great. Hope you guys have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. All right. New type. For Pokemon.
Sound type is the one that I've heard a lot too. Steve from It's Super Effective has mentioned a sound type before on his show, and it made the most sense to me. I liked it because like Pokemon like Loudred feel like they're a little bit more special than normal. But it doesn't invalidate the need for a normal type. You know?
I really do think that sound is a great option. And I think that otherwise across the board, it's very difficult to think of something that's not represented overall.
Okay, well think about a really heavy area like psychics in legendaries. Psychic is kind of a catch-all. So how can you diversify the category of psychic in regards to how it's leveraged in the legendary Pokemon? So like you could argue with light or like an ethereal type or a space type or something else like that. That would be a special typing that you really only kind of like how dragon used to be.
Yeah, I could see them doing something like space. Something that would have been a great tie-in if they'd done it with the Ultra Beasts and stuff like that.
And Deoxys.
Yeah. Space is an option. I also agree. I think psychic is kind of heavy with a lot of similarities that could have been diverged into other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But on a similar note, reworking the type chart, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I think normal is dumb. I think normal desperately, it should not be the default. It should be its own thing. And it shouldn't be the most common.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think change normal's name to something else so that it's not the default and give Pokemon that are normal appropriate typings when appropriate. Dunsparce ground, for example. You know, Wigglytuff shouldn't be normal fairy. It should just be fairy. Stuff like that. Make normal actually special. Give it something it's super effective. Make normal super effective against space. If you want to add another one. It's perfect. Yes. It works perfect.
While we're also daydreaming, can we make bug type better? Okay, thanks.
No, bug type doesn't need to be better. Poison type needs to be better. Full stop.
No Sorry. Way.
Yeah, poison type is it's a terrible typing. It's a bad typing.
I don't know.
It's super effective against two things. And it's only good because it counters fairy.
Yes.
But they did that intentionally when they added fairy, which is good. They just need to do more of it. The problem was that they added so many poison types in the game in Gen 1 because it was the weak type they could give Team Rocket so that the player could roll over them. I think bug types need a better identity for like late game because so many of them are specialized around the early game. And that could definitely happen though.
Yeah, I would agree. This is a difficult conversation to have because like you said, they pretty much covered
more late game bugs like Volcarona.
Yes, but, I want that, please.
But not that high a level. For those of you who don't know, Volcarona doesn't evolve to level 59, which is crazy.
Yeah, but it could evolve at level 1 and go.
Yes, technically it could, but we're not just talking about go.
I know, but I don't know. Yeah, I want more respect to bugs, please. But anyway, yeah, light, sound, space, types, stuff like that would be cool. But thank you for the email, John. That's a great question. Dear listener, we'd like to send in an email like these fun folks did. You can send it to mail@gocastpodcast.com. You can also send us a voicemail to 262-586-7717. That's always an option. We love getting voicemails. You can visit our website, gocastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, our pretty much only active social media account, @GoCastPodcast. If you'd like to help support the show and gain access to the great patron Discord we talk about all the time, and so do a lot of people that write in, you can do so via Patreon. That's patreon.com/GoCastPodcast. $1 a month gets you access to the patron Discord, which is the best perk that we offer, bar none. Speaking of patrons and patronage, shout out to our Elite Trainer tier patrons. We have two new additions to this list here. Cyprian Bo, Daniel Zekwalker, Andrew, Chad, Robert, Michael, Ozzy, Ted, Tish, Ben, Marvin, and Mimi. Thank you to all of you very much for your support. Generous support as it is, and thank you for helping us keep the Digital Lights On. We got one review this week, which is a great avenue for you to go if you'd like to help support the show, but monetary means are not in the cards for you. You can write a review for free, and it helps us out a ton. This week's review is from Yigat. Love the show. The hosts are great and give awesome feedback, as well as news about the game. It has everything you would need for an informational and fun podcast to listen to. Yes, we nailed it, Kyle. We did it. Wouldn't you know it? That's what we're trying to do. I'm glad it worked for somebody. Thank you very much for the kind words. We really quite appreciate it. All right, Kyle, last things last. It's time to set some goals. And I'll have you know, my goals are already set, so I just need you to set yours. You want me to go through first while you're mulling it over?
No.
Okay.
All right. I want to complete the collection challenge this Sunday.
Okay.
The 5th. I don't know. What is it? What is this part of the event called? I don't know. Hoopa's Arrival. That's right. That's what's happening on the 5th. So I want to finish that. I also want to finish all of the special research that's going to be feasible at that point. I don't actually know specifically what that all is to list here.
Have you done the first step?
I think I need to take the pictures of the psychic Pokemon. I legitimately haven't seen any while I've been at work. So
the first time you see one, you can just take 3 snapshots of the same one.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little bit annoyed, because I open my phone up like 5 times at work. No psychics. I'm like,
I just need one.
I just need one.
Yeah.
Gonna hatch 40 eggs.
Whoa.
Actually, pause. Let me see how many eggs I've hatched this week before I set a silly goal. Okay, apparently I need to hatch 60 eggs. I've already hatched 40 eggs this week.
Okay, 60 eggs. Holy cow. Okay. Is that it for you, sir?
Yep.
Collection challenge, special research, whatever that might be, and hatch 60 eggs total this week. Excellent. I love it. That sounds good. For me, I want to catch a shiny Lugia this week. I want to hatch 50 eggs. I want to walk 25 kilometers. I also want to do the collection challenge, and I also would like to do the special research. So I've got 5 this week, and my work's cut out for me for actually walking and stuff.
Start inviting me.
To Lugia raids?
To Lugia raids, apparently.
All right. I absolutely will. Give me that Shundo, Kyle. If you don't give me a Shundo this week, you're off the podcast.
I'm also really close to a level 50 Galarian Stunfisk, by the way.
Ooh. 30, that's been a long time coming.
30 more,
man.
XL candy. Oh, I have walked it far more.
You should level it up, and then you should delete it. Make a video out of it.
Under absolutely no circumstances, I would die.
Yes. And so with that Stunfisk. And on that note, we would like to thank you for listening all the way through. And we'll see you for next episode, which is episode 160. A nice round number. Until then, good luck this weekend. And until we talk to you next. Bye-bye.
Bye.